I was thinking about this over the past few weeks, and I want to teach this lesson. I know time has slipped away pretty quick. You ever heard those on the radio, whatever it is, an ad, and then someone at the very end of it is going, what did they say? Now, they said that they did that because it's something that is a disclaimer or whatever. But if you don't understand the disclaimer, it's going to not do you any good. Amen? So I want to give a disclaimer on the devil tonight, and I want to do it so you can understand it. Because if you don't understand it, then it won't do you any good. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8 through 9. For you who have been in the church for a while, this is a familiar scripture to you. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. Would you put the next slide up there? It should be one on the lion. Because I want you to get a picture in your mind. Okay? Wait till they get that pulled up. There he is. Like a roaring lion. I don't know about you, if a lion roars at me, if I've got space, I'm going to take off. Problem is, it'll probably outrun me. Problem is, if I climb a tree, he's going to be right behind me climbing the tree. The devil's the same way. We think that we can run away from him or get away from him or hide from him, but he is there constantly. The Apostle Paul said, every time I try to do good, evil is always present. The Apostle Paul struggled with whatever he struggled with, or the things. Maybe he felt like giving up. Maybe it felt like no one's listening, no one's hearing what I'm saying or preaching. I don't know what he was going through. I don't know what his temptations were. But you rest assured, every day that you get up on the day the Lord hath made and you're going to rejoice in that day, the devil is going to be there roaring in some fashion, some manner. He's going to be there trying to discourage you. Now, where I'm taking this from is I want to introduce this little thought here, because it is real. It happened. Back in 1898, two male lions stalked the construction region of what is now known as the Kenya Railway. Before the two lions would be hunted down, they killed 135 Indian African laborers. There was a British officer in charge of building that railroad. This is building a bridge over this river. It was in this river area of Tsavo River. A man by the name of Lieutenant Colonel J.H. Patterson spent 9 months pursuing these two man-eating lions. The man-eaters of Tsavo were finally hunted down and they were killed. If you go online and you Google that aspect of the Tsavo lions, you'll find that characteristics of these lions, and as you read it, I believe you begin to think of how the devil can be a lion and bent on the destruction of every saint of God, every child of God. And for that reason, we must need the words of Peter to be sober and to be vigilant. So I'm teaching you tonight about the soul eater. The devil out there is there to hunt you down and to destroy your soul. Destroy the soul of your children, whether they're young, whether they're teenagers, young adults, your soul, my soul. Your adversary, the devil, Peter was putting identity upon him. The adversary, the devil. You see, the devil is no idle spirit. The devil is a fallen angel, a fallen archangel. He possessed powers of the eternities that when God made or created him, gave him all of those faculties. In the Gospel of John, chapter 8, verse 44, ye are of your father the devil, and the lust of your father ye will do. He was a murderer from the beginning, and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. That's the adversary that will try to tell you the things out in the world as good, or convince your children, or things that you don't have to really do. And don't ever forget that the devil is a liar. He is the father of lies. Psalms 10, verse 10 through 9 through 10. He lieth in wait secretly as the lion in his den. He lieth in wait to catch the poor. He doth catch the poor when he draweth him into his net. He croucheth and humbleth himself, that the poor may fall at his strong ones. I try to think about the poor in spirit. We can't afford to get poor in spirit. I think we need to be rich in spirit. Amen? And there's going to be a reason for that as I go along here tonight. Revelation 13, 6 and 8. And he openeth his mouth in blasphemy against God, to blaspheme his name and his tabernacle, and them that dwell in heaven. And it was given to him to make war with the saints, and to overcome them. And power was given unto him over all the kindreds and tongues and nations. And all that dwelleth upon the earth shall worship him, whose names are not written in the book of life of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. It is so important to have your family's name written in the Lamb's book of life.
Amen.
There's going to be a day come where God's going to give him the final rule and reign on this earth. And he will torment, destroy all of those whose names are not written in the Lamb's book of life. In Matthew chapter 13, verses 39 through 40, the enemy that showed them is the devil. The harvest is the end of the world, and the reapers are the angels. As therefore the tares are gathered and burned in the fire, so shall it be in the end of this world. Psalms chapter 7, verse 1 through 2. My God, in thee do I put my trust. Save me from all them that persecute me, and deliver me, lest he tear my soul like a lion. Who will try to tear your soul like a lion? The devil. Your greatest arch enemy on this earth, rendering it in pieces while there is none to deliver. So this soul eater has a destructive capacity that is terrible even to imagine. But then we can't imagine, because we've seen the destruction on people's lives that the devil has absolutely tried to destroy and tear apart. What's our weapon? As a child of God, you got two weapons. One is the name of Jesus Christ and your power of prayer and faith in that name. Come on, church. There's no greater name. It has all power in heaven and earth. You can say to Satan, get thee behind me. I believe that includes you can tell Satan, take your hands off of my family, off of my children. I don't care what kind of condition you find your children in. You can speak to the devil directly and say, I rebuke you in the name of Jesus Christ. Take your hand and spirit off of my child's life and body. That's how we're going to see prodigal sons and daughters come back home to where they need to be. It's in your hands. It's in your faith. It's in your prayers. Scattered throughout the scriptures are example after example of how the devil deceived men into trading their souls to him. Adam and Eve gained every worldly wisdom that was finally lost, but they lost in the fellowship of God. You can gain the whole world, but if you lose your soul, what has it proffered you? Cain gained satisfaction but lost the presence of God in his life. Lot gained the fertile plains of Jordan but lost his testimony in Sodom. Eli gained a position but lost his sons to the devil. Achan gained the gold of Jericho but lost his family to a public stoning. Saul gained the spoils of war but lost his throne. Gehazi gained Nathan's wealth but lost his health to leprosy. Belshazzar gained the pleasures of sin but lost his kingdom in the night. The rich man fared sumptuously every day on earth but lost his soul in hell. Demas gained this present world but lost God's blessing for eternal service. Pergamos and Thyatira gained prestige in their compromise with the apostles and the devil, but lost the importance of the love of the truth. Laodicea gained worldly goods, but lost their spiritual vision, lost their way. Anytime we try to play on the devil's playground without sufficient strength, we will lose every time. You can't play on his playground and expect to come out, "Oh, I'm strong. I know I can do this." I've seen, as pastor, please, and I don't mean to hurt or injure anyone at all, but I've seen men come into church and get young ladies get baptized and then take the girl out of the church, out of the kingdom of God. This is not pointing at anything or anybody. I'm just telling you what I've seen through about 45 years of ministry, maybe longer than that. I've seen the devil come in the churches and try to take it over through carnal thinking. The soul eater works in the same manner. There are events that occur in our lives that we find will bring us to great point of opportunity. But those opportunities are for attack. When you move away from God, the opportunity gets greater for an attack. When we grow weaker in our spiritual walk with God, the opportunity grows greater for spiritual attack. I know a young man today, and I pray for him because he has lost his way. How did he lose his way? Like so many people lose their way, they draw away from church. Why do I need church today? Why do I need to go to church? You try to stay out of church. This is my concern, is that I realize people have to work, and they work during the week and can't come on Wednesday, or they're too tired to come or whatever. But I'm telling you, if you come this Sunday and you don't get into it, you will get weaker and you become the prey for the devil. You begin to learn to walk without the Spirit of God. You enjoy the singing, but not the commitment to Jesus. You enjoy the worship and the atmosphere, but never make that connection. that's going to take you when the first windstorm comes and topple your life because the roots are not sunk very deep within your spiritual relationship with God. First trial, first test, first strong wind, and it blows you over. Which brings me back to this young man. And you see, if you walk away from church and no one calls you, if you walk away from church and no one calls you, I think we need to follow up. I think we need to make phone calls. I think we need to let people know we love them. But let me tell you, we're not, or you're not, I'm not under any obligation to beg people to serve God. Right. Now, if you take that as a strong admonition, then receive it. Don't. If you backslide, God's not there to push you back in. You've got to want to come back. You got to want to get off the fence and come back home to the Father. But no one called me. No one should call you. You should never go out in the first place and then turn around and blame somebody else because they didn't call you to come to church or come back to church. That seems hard. But I say that in love because understand this. If you stay close to the fire, you'll stay warm. And when you pull away from the fire, you get colder. And the colder you get, your soul gets colder and colder. You see no need. You see, lions are opportunists. Say it again, lions are opportunists. A lion is not too proud to eat insects, porcupines, grubs. They don't mind chasing down a big buffalo or a hippo. Whatever presents itself to a lion will most likely be added to the menu for that day. Will more likely be offered to the menu of that day. You see, the soul eater works in the same manner. There are events that occur in our lives that we find will bring us to a great point of opportunity for attack in our lives. Esau was extremely hungry after an empty hunt, didn't get anything that day. The opportunity of hunger brought him to a point of trading his birthright for a mess of portage. He really wasn't into this heritage. He really wasn't into having his dad. It didn't mean a whole lot to him who his dad was and his dad's relationship with God, who come down at times and talked to his dad. If you're not into serving God, it won't be too long of opportunity you give that old roaring lion to give you an excuse or a complaint. Noah finally gets off the ark after the flood, and in his excitement and freedom settled down to a bottle of wine, and his sin demanded a great penalty from one of his sons. Peter finds a time when his faith is very low and his future very uncertain. When a young girl exposes him to be one of the followers of the Lord, his excuse rang out with denial. I don't know. In fact, the Bible says that Peter cursed and denied the Lord that he didn't know him. Judas is tempted by the clinking of coins. When the aftermath is all over, 30 pieces of silver have purchased a rope for him to hang himself in bitter defeat. I want to say this because I feel like to say it in the Spirit of the Lord here, and I want you to understand this. You'll get so discouraged sometimes, even you have been born again in one spirit, that you just want to kill yourself. That you want to take your own life because you think if you was out of the way, life and family would be better off and everybody better. But I'm going to tell you, the devil is an accuser of the brethren. He's a liar. Anytime you get that feeling, you get so despondent, so depressed, remember this. You tell that devil, devil, you are a liar and a father of lies. So how do you know that, Pastor? I'm telling you, it happens to anybody and everybody. When you get so depressed, so down. In my studies in medical and working with counseling and with the court system and so forth, there are more suicides among the older generation every day because they get a feeling that they're just in the way. They take the overdose of the medications or they do whatever. I go through a litany of reasons and how they do it. The devil doesn't care how you get you out and get you lost for eternity. He wants more company. He wants more. If I'm going, I'm going to take as many with me as I can. That seems to be the theme of the devil's approach to things. Begin to look around in your life. What time have we all not been in some situation? Esau, tarred from the hunt and driven by our own base appetites, we sell things that are far higher in value. If you're not careful, you'll sell your faith. You'll sell your very soul. The future is slain for the fulfillment of the immediate. The world today. And if you're going to stand in this day and hour, listen, church, we do not know what we're going to face before the Lord comes. If the pressure comes on, I've heard it preached ever since I've been in church. When the prophecy teacher would come by the church, the pastor had somebody come by and preach prophecy, I didn't want to go to church because I didn't want to hear it. It scared the daylights out of me. I would go, but I'm often like, da 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 da. One particular great man of God, he'd bring the big oil cloth, stretch it from one side of the church to the other, and have all the big horns and all this stuff. We're in a place in our lives is, make it as easy as you can for me so I won't have to face or see or hear any of the negatives. Jesus. Let me tell you what, there are positive things in the gospel of God and then there are some negative things for our lives. Yeah. I want to be aware of the negative things just as much as I want to be aware of the positive things. Amen. I'm not going to live in a negative surrounding. So I'm not, and you don't live in a negative surrounding. But if we're approaching a minefield, I want some brave soul with his service knife or bayonet crawling on his belly, sticking it in the sand or the dirt to find where the mine is at. Just because it says minefield and you go walking across anyway, then don't cry when you get blowed up. Amen. Same way. The devil will lay mines out there. He'll lay traps out there. And if you don't know the negative of the traps, you see, the Bible says we should be aware of the devil's devices.
Come on. Yes.
You better thank God that you got a prayer warrior or you got a pastor or somebody out there who's willing to crawl on their belly and stick something in. Where is the mine? Where is the problem? Where is this situation? So it don't blow up a soul and a soul be lost. That's just as important as walking around being positive all day long. And we need to be positive. So don't take away from my teaching tonight that you can't be positive. But you need to have somebody in your life or someone who's going to be a prayer warrior that will also be able to find out what the traps are or whatever. What do you do with your children? Do you not warn your children? Train up a child in the way it should go. Amen?
Amen.
Did you just let your child run helter-skelter? Figure it out yourself? Do you do that to your children? Hey, get out and see if you get yourself blown up. See if you can lose your soul. Just go ahead. See what you can do. You warn them. You caution. Whether they listen to you or not, it's something else. The same way with the church congregation, where people will listen, that becomes their responsibility. If you point out where the problem or the mind may be, or the situation may be, or whatever, and you can't keep them from crossing the minefield, but you can pray and ask God to guide their steps, direct their lives. Amen?
Amen.
Sometimes we get exhilarated by some success. Then we find out that the glow goes out and we get so discouraged. You see, this is the way the soul eater works. He is constantly working towards destruction, and whatever opportunity that is afforded, he does his best to capture the prey. The soul eater does not have a bit of discrimination as to whose soul he will take. He will attempt to fall upon the mighty cedar just as he works to destroy the scrub pine. He does not matter to the soul eater whether he gets the most mature saint or the newest convert just so he gets something. Years of service or just a few days of introduction does not matter to the devil. He wants everything he can see. He wants to take every soul to hell with him. If you stop and think about what the soul eater is trying to do, then think about your Lord and Savior who ascended in front of the apostles and caught up in a cloud into heaven, where he is at an altar consistently offering sacrifice for you every day. It's not everybody out here in the street he's doing that for. He's doing it for the redeemed. We find that first, the lions are opportunists. Secondly, we find that lions hunt those that are separated. Those are particularly keen to those who get separated. If you ever watch any kind of a film about Africa or lions or cheetahs, whatever, they try to separate out of the pack. They try to get one particular animal they're after cut off from the group. However the devil can discourage you, however the enemy can destroy your faith to get you cut out from the pack, from the body of Christ, the lions would attack those elder buffalo that were weary from the journey. They more kind of lag from the herd. They more present themselves in a dangerous situation, dangerous position. What do you mean, Pastor? What I'm saying here again is this. I don't care how long you've been in church, but you've been in church for a long time. It can be the fact church can become boring to you. Church can become routine. My pastor taught me when I first came into the church, my first pastor, if you want to fire a church, bring your own log. Bring your own wood. In other words, your responsibility to have your own personal revival, your own personal fire going on in your life. And you're not waiting on if the preacher preaches a good message or not, or the praise team sings a good song that bumps you up. Not. This is why I think David would say, you come through those doors with praise and with thanksgiving. Oh, God, what a great opportunity to come into the house of God. When you come in and you just, nothing's moving you, nothing's happening in your life, there's no enthusiasm of anything after, it's like marriage. Should I stay off of that subject? The longer you're married, the more you just assume that she's going to wash your socks until the day she stops washing them. And then you say, hey, I don't have any clean socks. We take so much for granted that God's going to be there in the service. That Brother Randy said to Lane to praise him, he's going to sing it in, he's going to make it happen. And I can just kind of get in, squeeze in at you. No, that's not how it works. Because if you don't bring your own fire, if you don't come through with the praise and the thanksgiving and the worship, then you're not moved by the word, you're not moved by the singing, you're not moved by anything. You've separated yourself, you kind of moved away from it. You're here, but you're not here. Not everybody shouts the same way. Not everybody is exuberant in the same way. I understand that. But you can tell somebody when they've got fire or they don't have fire. You can tell somebody when they've got life or they don't have life. Amen? Pentecost is not just about running and jumping. It's about involvement of your spirit and faith. And you're walking and moving, and anything is possible. God can do this and God can do that. How do you know that? Because he's done it for me here, there, and yonder. We're overcomers by the word of our testimony and by the blood of the Lamb. Yes. Have I still got a testimony? Is the blood still effective on my life? Wow. You may hear him roaring in the background. You may hear him roaring around the campfire. You throw another log on the campfire, get another blaze going. Why? It keeps him away. The more on fire you are, the more it keeps the devil away, the more it keeps the lion away. When you're not on fire, and it burns down low, and the darkness sort of kind of creeps in. And the chill of the night begins to creep upon your bones. What once seemed so far off in the distance now seems right behind that tree. He's an opportunist. He likes to attack those that separate themselves. Let me close with this last one. Lions will hunt at night. We know that. There are some parts of Africa that the daytime temperatures are well over 100 degrees, and only thing that the lion will do and what they seek for is a shade under a tree. Get out from under the heat. Stay cool. However, when the sun begins to descend, the restless and the hungry start stirring and starts moving. And after the sun has set and the temperatures is beginning to cool down, the lion begins to move out and work under the cover of the darkness. It is during the night that they have to compete with the much despised hyena. If a lion has a sworn enemy, it is the hyena. Far too many times, a pack of hyenas have been run off from the kill of a fresh zebra by a pride of lions. And this only heightens their hate. And there's this fight going back between the hyenas and the lions in the nighttime. But it's in the midst of the darkness that the lion moves with stealth and secrecy to prey upon some unsuspecting victim. Well, I don't see why I have to do this. I don't know why everybody else is not doing it. Why should I be that committed? Be careful. If you don't keep the fire burning, blazing high enough, the adversary of your soul will come in closer and closer in the nighttime. When we feel that isolation from God, our words can pour out like these. And Psalms 42, verse 3 and 5. My tears have been my meat day and night, while they continually say unto me, where is thy God? When I remember these things, I pour out my soul in me, for I had gone with the multitude. I went with them to the house of God with the voice of joy and praise, with the multitude that kept holy day. Why art thou cast down, O my soul, and why art thou disquieted in me? Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise him for the help of his countenance. Hear my prayer, O Lord, and let my cry come before thee. Hide not thy face from me in the day when I am in trouble. Incline thine ear unto me in the day when I call. Answer me speedily, for my days are consumed like smoke, and my bones are burned as on a hearth. My heart is smitten and withered like grass, so that I forget to eat my bread. By reason of the voice of my groaning, my bones cleave to my skin. I am like a pelican of the wilderness. I am like an owl of the desert. I watch and I am as a sparrow alone upon the house. My enemies reproach me all the day, and they that are mad against me are sworn against me. For I have eaten ash like bread and mingled my drink with weeping because of thine indignation in thy wrath, for thou hast lifted me up and cast me down. Hey, say, folks, there's people out there that are struggling. There's prodigal sons and daughters that are struggling out there. I do believe there's a multitude that wants to be right where you're at on a Wednesday night or a Sunday morning. Every opportunity. Why? Some are going to gym, doing cross training, lifting weights, doing all kinds of stuff. We need to do that spiritually, amen? Amen. When we find that great depression settling upon our souls, the soul eater is lurking and watching over every move that you and I make. There may be a myriad of reasons for the darkness: physical sickness, spiritual burdens of concern for others, overwhelming obstacles, problems that seemingly have no end and no solution to it, financial difficulties, relationships that have been forsaken and ruined, family strains with those closely related to us, jobs that are filled with seemingly dead ends. Darkness of difficulties often brings the soul eater into our line of sight, and we become his appointed prey. Lions are very cautious. They're very careful. But their approach is always to kill. James chapter 1, verse 14 through 15 says, "But every man is tempted." Every man is tempted. When he is down away of his own lust and enticed, then when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin, and sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. But here's the good news. God is life. God is life. I want you to understand that God is life. Sin may have brought death into your life, but I'm here to tell you God has come to give you life. How many in this building know CPR? Several. How many in this building knows how to pray another person through? Not as many hands, are there? You see, when you become someone that's concerned about a soul and you begin to pray, it's like giving them CPR. You're trying to pump breath of the Spirit back into their soul. Why should I care about that brother or that sister? They deserve. They're not. Well, if you stand behind this pulpit or you're a pastor of a congregation, every soul matters, whether they're backslid or on fire for God. Because I want you to live. I don't want the adversary of your soul to steal your soul or eat up your soul or cause you to be lost. I do not want to preach to others and become lost myself. There are a multitude of tentacles attached to sin, and the soul eater will come, entice. And to destroy. So if lions work in these patterns of opportunist, seeking those that are separated, thirdly, they hunt at nighttime. Despite these attacks of the soul eater, Peter left us with some very valuable advice as to how to defeat. And I think we have that up there. I think that's the last slide. Number one is what? Let's say it together.
Be sober.
Be sober. What does that mean? Peter is calling for sober-minded thinking that is tempered by godliness, and our thinking must be balanced and disciplined. We cannot allow the allurement of worldliness and false doctrine to prevail in our relationship with God. That's what be sober. Come on. Think upon these things, whatever's good. My wife can quote that scripture. Second is, let's say the second one, be vigilant. The saint of God must stay awake and constantly on the alert for any opening the soul eater might be attempting to take. And this third one, let's say it, resist. The saint of God must take a stand against the wiles. Peter says, the wiles of the devil. We'll call it tonight, the wiles of the soul eater. Amen?
Amen?
You see, a shepherd's responsibility. Brother Chandler last Wednesday night did an excellent job. If you don't have that tape, please get it. Listen to it again. But to be a shepherd in the natural, if you was a shepherd, you carried your flask of oil. You carried this long stick, this cane, has a crook in it. It wasn't just for the shepherd to hold on to. When a sheep was in rough territory and fell over, a sheep cannot get up by itself if it's on its back. And that crook in that rod was as the shepherd got a hold of the sheep and put the crook in the neck of the sheep to help bring it and raise it back on its feet.
Come on.
Right. Pastor, that's awful difficult. That's awful rough. That's awful. Well, do you know how hard sometimes it is to raise a sheep up?
Come on.
Stir. Everybody say stir.
Stir.
Stir up the gifts that lies within us. And the reason why that shepherd carried that flask, it had oil in it. And he would go through the congregation. Oh, excuse me. He went through the sheep herd. And he took that oil and poured it into the nostrils. Because the oil was the only thing that would kill the parasites that was entering into the nostrils. What did doctors today tell you? If you're, you know, don't rub your eyes or don't rub your nose, because if you got disease or things on your hands, that's the quickest way into your body. So we take that oil and he would pour it into the nostrils of the sheep to kill the parasites, to keep the sheep healthy. I don't know if sheep could think or talk very well or not, but perhaps in my own mind, one sheep said to the other, oh no, here he comes again with that oil. Amen. The remedy for fighting the soul eater is be sober, be vigilant, and resist. Amen.
Amen.
And I encourage you, every time you come to the house of God on whatever night it is, revival, or we have special speakers, we have what it is, come on. Bring your log on a Sunday morning. Bring your wood. Come on. You need to be on fire before you get here, not to try to reset the fire every time you come. I know the worship makes the difference, and it helps us really does. I wouldn't want to come on and not have that ability to worship and the music and the singers and all that. But I tell you, it makes a whole world of a difference if you walk through the doors on fire already. And you not have let the darkness of the world crowd you out of your relationship with God. And you not allow the devil to slip in and sneak in on you to destroy your soul. Amen? I want to see Jesus. I may have to struggle to get there, but I'll struggle to get there. Amen? Don't walk away. Don't ever give up. You press. The Bible says, press. Pressed to the mark of the high calling in Christ Jesus. And some days, I'm going to tell you, it is a press. Amen. I've got another shot Monday in my eye and a shot Tuesday in my eye. I'm needing an upgrade on these glasses. I can't see very well. The scripture looks like as trees moving or whatever. Tonight I struggle a little bit just reading. End of May, they say they're going to do the surgery. And after that, it's good. I may not even need glasses, but if they do glasses, whatever, that's going to be better. Let me tell you what. I want to see Jesus. Anybody want to see Jesus? On fire for the Holy Ghost. Don't get separated from the body of Christ. Don't let your fire go out and let darkness creep in. Come on.